Absolutely. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I want you to open your Bible to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, when you get there, holler amen. Amen. We're going to start with verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see, then, that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this passage of scripture. Thank you for your word. I ask that you just speak it clear to our hearts and to our minds today. Lord, I ask you to teach us. Draw us close to you, Lord. Let us hear your voice. Build our faith, Lord Jesus, and our works. Reveal truth to us, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak through me and encourage us all with your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week, Brother Glenn Brown brought a message, a moving and motivational message about recent events that impacted me. I believe it impacted all of us. And he especially talked about the devastating school shooting that happened in Santa Fe, so close to us. He also talked about our tendency toward apathy and our lack of appropriate response to some urgent problems facing our nation, our community, and our nation. Glenn's message should have prompted you to do something. Anything. Anything about the current situations in our community and in our precious nation. This morning, I want to encourage you to respond again to that message. And I believe we can do that through this passage of Scripture that I just read. These verses are a declaration of faith and works. They're written by James, the stepbrother of Jesus, and the first pastor of the church in Jerusalem. But before I expound on this passage, I want to look at something that has brought some confusion into Christianity. It was confusion back when James wrote this, and confusion today as well. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Now, because of what Paul wrote in his verses, many Christians deny or question the validity of James' teaching on faith and works. Some may suggest that in these two verses, Paul is saying that faith and works are not compatible. They're not compatible. They do not function together. However, if you continue in the same section of Scripture, looking at verse 10, Paul declares, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them." For some reason, verse 10 never seems to get quoted with verse 8 and 9. Amen? Now, let me explain this questionable contradiction with a statement made by Dr. Adrian Rogers. And I quote, he said, "Now Paul speaks of the root of salvation. James speaks of the fruit of salvation. Now the root is beneath the ground. The fruit is above the ground. God can see the root. Only man can see the fruit. Paul speaks of the foundation of our faith. James speaks of the building that is built on that foundation. Paul is speaking of that which is inward. James is speaking of that which is outward. Paul is speaking of the provision of our salvation. James is speaking of the proof of our salvation. Paul is talking about the means of our salvation. James is talking about the marks of our salvation. Paul is talking about a no-so salvation. James is talking about a show-so salvation." Hallelujah. I want to go into James' teaching. Samuel Bradburn, an associate of John Wesley, was highly respected by his friends and used by God as a mighty minister. On one occasion, he was in desperate financial need. When Wesley learned of his circumstances, he sent him this following letter. "Dear Sammy, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Yours affectionately, John Wesley." But attached to that letter was a 5-pound note, about $10 now. Bradburn's reply was prompt. He said, "Reverend and dear sir, I have often been struck with the beauty of that passage of Scripture, that passage of Scripture quoted in your letter. But I must confess that I never saw such a useful expository note on it before. Someone has said pious talk can't take the place of helpfulness. To profess faith in Christ as Savior and Lord, but to ignore the needs of fellow believers is inconsistent. James said that true faith translates into compassion in action, so the best commentary on faith is actions." Hallelujah. So what is faith? Faith is a belief in God that you live out in your daily life. According to James, faith requires action, faith requires compassion, and faith requires evidence. In James chapter 2, where we're just reading, starting with verse 14, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So the first thing James is telling us today is that faith requires action. Faith requires action. Don't tell me about your faith. Show it to me. Show it to me. There was an early church father named Ocumenus who said this, take note of what spiritual understanding really is. It is not enough to believe in a purely intellectual sense. There has to be some practical application of this belief. That's exactly James' point. That's what he's trying to tell us. What good is faith that doesn't do anything? Let me say that again. What good is faith that doesn't do anything? In verse 14 of the New Living Translation, James says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Now, according to the theologian Stuack, this verse brings up two rhetorical questions about faith without deeds. Faith without deeds. They are, number one, what good is it? And he said the answer is none. Number two, can it save? The answer is no. Answer is no. The first question implies a general lack of any usefulness for faith without actions. The second question specifies a particular use that is lacking, salvation itself. The combined impact of these questions is to declare a thorough uselessness of faith without deeds and to make it absolutely clear to declare its particular uselessness in regard to salvation, which would be the primary point of having faith in the first place. Faith without works is useless. The theologian Barton says this, the person who claims to have faith only obviously thinks that his belief alone, without any good actions, which are deeds done in obedience to God, is satisfactory in God's sight. However, faith not accompanied by deeds has no saving value. Anyone can say he has faith. But if his lifestyle remains selfish and worldly, then what good is that faith? What good? It is merely faith, and get this, folks, it is merely faith that believes about Jesus, not faith that believes in Jesus. Henry Blackaby, in Experiencing God, his book, he said, what you do in response to God's revelation, which is an invitation to a revealed task, shows what you believe about God. True faith requires action. So, folks, you can't just talk about your faith. You've got to express it outwardly. Amen? Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 in the New Living Translation says, for when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. In love. It does no good to tell someone about your faith if they can't see it. What good is faith that doesn't reach out to those in need? That kind of faith is like the Pharisees in the parable of the Good Samaritan who saw the man in need and walked by. Just walked on by and did absolutely nothing. We need to have a faith that shows the love of Christ in action. We need to have the kind of faith that says, I love you because Jesus first loved me. That kind of faith that says, let me help you because God showed his grace to me. It's the kind of faith that says, let me assist you in your hour of need because Jesus reached out to me in my hour of need. That's the kind of faith that saves. Next, James tells us that faith requires compassion. He continues teaching on faith and works by giving an illustration. In verse 15 and 16 in the New Living Translation, he says, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? By using the word suppose, James makes this illustration technically hypothetical, but probably one he considered quite realistic. James' statement of a brother or sister reflects an envisioning of real positive action toward real people. From our understanding of history, we know that many of his readers were living in economic hardship. However, his illustration does not imply that all Christians were living in poverty, but in their midst, they would be encountering cases of hardship as severe as a lack of sufficient clothing and even a day's worth of food. The hypothetical response to the need is good wishes without any action, for the needy ones were merely dismissed with friendly words. And the response to the needy ones begins with, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. They just expected God to do something for this person when God wanted to use. God wanted the works to be seen of that believer. This illustration fits with James' context, objecting to faith without works, just his pious words with no action. The uselessness of this response is so obvious and offensive that James needs only to repeat his first statement. He says, what does it profit? What does it profit? What are we doing? It doesn't make sense. James expects that true faith will surely lead to appropriate action which will meet people's material needs. Philip Yancey, in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, shares this story. I heard from a friend who works with the down and out in Chicago. A prostitute came to me in wretched straits, homeless, sick, unable to buy food for her 2-year-old daughter. Through sobs and tears, she told me she had been renting out her daughter, 2 years old. She made more renting out her daughter for an hour than she could earn on her own for a night. She had to do it, she said, to support her own drug habit. I could hardly bear hearing her sordid story. I had no idea what to say to this woman. At last, I asked her if she'd ever thought of going to a church for help. I will never forget the look of pure, naive shock that crossed her face. Church, she cried. Why would I ever go there? I'm already feeling terrible about myself. They'd just make me feel worse. What struck me about my friend's story is that the women in the Bible, much like the prostitute, moved toward Jesus and not away from him. The worse a person felt about herself, the more likely she saw Jesus as a refuge. Has the church lost that gift? Evidently, the down and out who flocked to Jesus when he lived on earth no longer feel welcome among his followers. Wow. Wow. Our faith is expressed in our compassion toward others. Our faith is expressed in our compassion toward others. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 in the New Living Translation says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." When Jesus saw the crowds of people, he had compassion on them. When we see the crowds, what do we do? How do we feel? Is our heart touched? Do we have compassion on them? Or do we have contempt for them? When we see people in need, do we think of ways to help? Or do we wonder what they did to get into that situation? Why is it that when Jesus walked the earth, the helpless flocked to him, but today they shy away from the church? God has ordained the church to carry on the love and work of Jesus Christ. Did you hear me, folks? Brother and sister, when we see the crowds, do we find ways to help, or do we find reasons why we can't? When is the church going to rise up and imitate the works and practice the love of our Lord and Savior? Jesus gave us power and authority to carry out his ministry today. Today. That leads us to what James says in verse 17 and 18. He says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works.' Then James says, 'Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" Isn't it obvious that faith is required? I think it is. Simply put, don't tell me about your faith. Show me. Show me your faith. That's the truth of the Scriptures. Amen? James says in verse 17 in the New Living Translation, he says, "So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless." Dead and useless. His expectation and conviction is so strong, folks, that he concludes that verse with the most severe condemnation of faith without deeds. He says, "It is dead and useless." Dead and useless. Now listen. All this that he's talking about, he's referring to faith. He's referring to faith. It is not that James is promoting deeds as an alternative to faith. He obviously knows the value of faith because in chapter 2 and verse 5, he calls those that have faith rich. Rich. What James is rejecting is the notion that one can have faith by itself without any accompanying actions. Amen? A conviction or intellectual belief that refuses to obey the commands of Jesus Christ is unprofitable. It is dead. Let me repeat that. A conviction or intellectual belief that refuses to obey the commands of Jesus Christ is unprofitable. It is dead. Good deeds are the fruit of living faith. Good deeds are the fruit of living faith. Amen. Right actions prove our faith to be real faith. Believing involves faith keeping company with action. The outward signs of love and compassion will lead others to understand that it is a faith that motivates them. If others hear us speak of faith, they must also see us act out our faith. Verse 18, James states, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works.' To which James responds, 'Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" The someone mentioned here in this verse considers faith and good deeds to be separate and alternate expressions of Christianity. Faith, works. Faith, works. You do your deeds, I'll have my faith. We'll be religious in our own ways. The two cannot be separated except when it ceases to live. Faith lives in the action it generates. Faith lives in the actions it generates. James responded with a challenge. "I can't see your faith if you don't have good deeds, but I will show you my faith through my good deeds." Amen? In other words, don't tell me about your faith. Show it to me. Show it to me. Faith cannot be demonstrated apart from action. Faith is within us. It can only be seen by the actions it produces through us. Amen? Anyone can profess faith, but only action will reveal it to be genuine. When Dave Thomas died in early 2002, he left behind more than just thousands of Wendy's restaurants. He also left a legacy of being a practical, hard-working man who was respected for his down-to-earth values. Among the pieces of good advice that have outlived the smiling entrepreneur is his view of what Christians should be doing with their lives. Thomas, who as a youngster was led to Jesus by his grandmother, said that believers should roll up your shirt sleeves, Christians. Believers should be roll up your shirt sleeves, Christians. In his book, Well Done, Thomas said, "Roll up your shirt sleeves, Christians. See Christianity as faith and action. They still make the time to talk with God through prayer, study scripture with devotion, be super active in their church and take their ministry to others to spread the good word." He went on to say they are anonymous people who are doing good for Jesus, and they may be doing even more good than all the well-known Christians in the world. That statement has more meat in it than a Wendy's triple burger. Amen. Thomas knew about hard work in the restaurant business, and he knew it was vital in the spiritual world also. Let's roll up our shirt sleeves. There is plenty to do. Yes. Matthew chapter 7, verse 18 and 20, 18 through 20 says, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." A good tree will automatically bear good fruit. If there's no good fruit, what happens to the tree? Tree is destroyed because it's useless. Just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their deeds. John 13:35 says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." All of this. True faith in Jesus produces a response toward others that is similar to those of Jesus. True faith causes us to reach out to those in need. True faith causes us to seek out those who need to hear the gospel. True faith causes us to do acts of kindness for those around us, even if it requires a sacrifice. Oh, I said that word. Even if it requires a sacrifice on our part. True faith causes others to see Jesus in us because we are imitating Him. Don't tell me about your faith. Show it to me. Show it to me. What is faith? Faith is your trust in the shed blood of Jesus and a lifelong allegiance to God Almighty. And according to the book of James, faith requires action, faith requires compassion, and faith requires evidence. Unfortunately, there will always be situations like Santa Fe around us. Unfortunately. Evil is running rampant, and some of the responsibility lies with the church because we as Christians have failed to act. The Holy Spirit equipped the church with power necessary to keep at bay the onslaught of the enemy. But we have become comfortable. We have become complacent. And we become apathetic. It is time for the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up, unite in prayer, and drive out this pervasive evil. Amen. Only as we diligently intercede for our communities and our country can we hope to witness a spiritual revival and a victory over these demonic forces. Only as we constantly reach out to the desperate and the hurting, showing them the compassion and love of the Lord, can we hope to win them for Jesus. For years, we have had a 10 o'clock Wednesday morning prayer meeting, but I recently suspended it because of a lack of attendance. However, I am reinstating this starting this Wednesday morning, if I'm the only one here. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. What can you do to help dispel the powers of darkness? Ask God what you can do, and then ask Him what we can do. God will give us direction and flood us with ideas straight from the throne room. Now, as I close, my first closing, I want you to remember three things. Faith is more than what you have, it is also what you do. Faith is more than what you have. It is also what you do. Number two, faith in motion tends to stay in motion and even gain momentum. Faith in motion tends to stay in motion and even gain momentum. And number three, when people see your faith in action, following the example of the Lord, they will be much more likely to listen to your testimony about Jesus. Actions are what they see. Now, this week I pondered, okay, Jerry, you talk a lot. What can you do? Well, I don't know what I can do. Not much. But I did something. I sat down and I wrote a petition. And I'm going to ask you all to sign it and to take petitions with you and get as many signatures on these as we can, and we'll send them to the appropriate people. I was listening for an amen. Amen. This is what I said. To whom it may concern. The names listed below on this petition are commonly called the silent majority. Let it be known that together we believe it is time once again to allow God into our communities and our country through the teaching of morality, love of others, and concern for every individual as based on the principles of the Bible. This country was founded on the truths revealed in God's holy word. However, because of the neglect and abandonment of God's principles, evil has been allowed to dictate, destroying everything cherished in our world. It's past time that we welcome God back into our schools, our government, and our personal lives. From this point on, the signers of this petition will work to make our neighborhoods, our communities, and even our country what the Creator intended. We recognize that the divorce rate is too high. Single-parent families are suffering. Children are abandoned. The use of drugs and alcohol has shattered personal hopes and dreams. Those things that we once deemed invaluable, even life itself, have disintegrated to that people are choosing suicide to stop the pain. But let's not blame the external problems alone for creating crime and misfortune experienced in our country. Far too many have simply allowed themselves to succumb to the persuasive evil practices of society, even operating weapons recklessly, using them to maim and destroy their fellow man. Evil will always run rampant when godly men and women do nothing. By signing this petition, we are declaring to anyone in leadership position within our community, our state, in our nation, that we will use our very powerful influence, our voices, our vote, and our finances to return the United States of America to a God-fearing Christian nation. Amen. Amen. Now, that's not all I'm going to do is write this petition. I'm going to sign it first, and I did. There's more, and those ideas will come from the throne room. We need to do something, folks, or we will lose America to evil. Santa Fe will be the normal, not the abnormal. Brother Glenn stirred me up last week. So I'm going to put this petition out here on this table for you to sign. And there's some other ones for you to take. Maybe you take one to work. Maybe you take one to school. Maybe you send it to another church. I'm going to send these to churches. Amen? Amen. And I asked it to be mailed back to my P.O. box. And when we get them together, we'll send them. We'll ask the Lord's leading where to send them. Amen? Are you with me, folks? Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So let's stand together. And let's just make a little commitment here. Lord Jesus, I just ask that you hear us. We are sorry and we repent that the ways of this world have crept in and we've done nothing about it. Lord, one lady started a movement that took prayer out of our school. And millions of people that called themselves Christians set on their do nothing. We repent. So, Lord, maybe this Santa Fe shooting woke us up. I'm hoping it did. there are certainly things we can do. And since our faith requires works, I think you've equipped us to do these things. So, Lord, I want us to make covenant with you that we will do what you inspire us or tell us or write in the heavens or however people define it. Lord, when you tell us something, we will do it because we don't want our faith dead but alive. Alive in you. So, Lord, we commit right now. We commit to do everything we can to change the world around us into what you designed, you desire, and you've equipped us to be. Lord, you set America aside. We've sent missionaries all over the world. Now it's us that need the missionary. Lord, we want to do something. So I ask for your help. Lord, change our nation. Change our nation. We rebuke evil. We call heaven down into this place. We claim it for heaven. And Lord, thank you for everything you're going to do. And I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Shake some hands, folks.